Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for impartation, demonstration, and activation. I thank you that you come through. You're always here. You've never left. This is not old residue. This is fresh oil. I prophesy fresh oil. I prophesy fresh oil now, God. Shotamande. God, I thank you. Release the spirit of prophecy to flow like never before. Signs, wonders, miracles to come. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Allow self to decrease, you increase. You have the full premonition in Jesus' name. I thank you for this moment, this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, clap your hands. Ah, godly. I was supposed to be home in church. And I was thinking about you guys. And I said, I wonder if they're thinking about me. This is a couple weeks ago. And I said, I haven't got a call from pastor yet. So I think they're doing okay. And I went about my business. And then all of a sudden, I wasn't even supposed to be in Houston. It was by divine orchestration. There's a couple that came to Portland that was part of this marriage intensive that I was a part of. I was with Jenny and all them guys. I was doing the prophetic part of things. And this couple, they come. He's a pilot for Southwest Airlines, a captain, and they flew in, and they're my spiritual son and daughter. And we were just talking, and it was just talking. And, you know, because it was a Friday night, and I got up there late, and my session was supposed to start, you know, a little bit after lunch, and my job was just to prophesy to the couples, all five couples. It was, you know, a big group of people, but they broke up in sections, and each group had like 7, 8, 9 couples in it. And then it was like five of them. And so these guys are talking to me. They're like, yeah, we're going to be doing our marriage still. Man, we want to have you come out and do identity. I wish you can come Thursday, next Thursday, or, you know, in a couple weeks. And I was like, I think I can make it happen. And then I walked away and said, why did you say that? Why did you say that? And I just said to myself, I felt empathy for them. I just felt like I could say it. And I hadn't even checked my calendar. I didn't talk to my princess, my bride. And I just said, I think I can make it happen. And then I'm shutting down a business. And I'm like, but then I'm like, okay. And they took me up on it. They took me serious. They're like, hey, can you come? We can get tickets and all that. I was like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. I got to close this business down. The lease is up. And you guys, it's the week of the lease is up. And I've got to move this stuff. And I'm like, hold on. And then I know that prices get high with tickets. I'm like, oh, my God. And then I'm like, and my wife's like, why do you do that? I'm like, I don't know. Just don't talk to me like that right now. I'm a little sensitive right now. She's like, Clyde, you know better. You have these assistants. You have these people. And you don't. And I'm like, I know. And so I was like, it all worked out. I said, Jesus, if you love me, which I know you do, would you help this chocolate delight out for just a moment? Can you orchestrate these, all this stuff to close down, and can you make it happen? And it all worked. And I said, I think I can come. And they said, okay. But I said, I have some pre-qualifications here. I don't like to sit in the back of the plane. I like to sit up front. And I like to sit on the aisle. Because when it's time to get off, I got to get off. And then they kind of orchestrate. They start doing all the stuff. And they say, well, we can't get you in the back. I mean, we got you in the back on the aisle, and it's going to be a middle seat. Oh, we got a problem here. I said, well, how about we do Saturday? I can come back Saturday to be home for church. And it all worked out. I got that flu, got left Friday, Wednesday morning at 3:45 in the morning, my time. Got to the airport, and this flight left at 6. Got to Phoenix, and all of a sudden, whose name comes in my spirit? Oh, Pastor Lena's. And I heard her say, how come you didn't say you were in town? So I text her when I was in Phoenix on the tarmac, and I was sitting there, hey, I'm in town, and I'll talk to you later, but I'm just in town. I knew that wasn't going to go nowhere because she was just going to go right past that and say, talk to you later. What do you mean talk to me later? I know her. She's going to go past that. And so I got to dial that here, and as soon as the first text, you know when you turn the phone off of airplane mode and you get off the flood of the text, hers is the number one. Oh, I'm so excited, blah, blah, blah. But if it's all possible, I love how she says it. If it's all possible, if you can stay over till Sunday. And I said, well, let me see. Let me see how this is going to work. And then I said, well, I told my buddy, because he's flying in. He's the captain, so he's working. But he's flying in, and so he's texting me. He says, you get in a little bit, about 20 minutes early. Go get you something to eat, and then I'll meet you I'm off the gate. And I said, wait, don't you the captain. Like, you got to wait till the people go. He said, no, I don't. When I park at the gate, I get off. I said, what kind of juke joint Southwest got going on? You supposed to be the man in charge. You ain't got. He said, no, I get off. So he parked, and he got me. He met me, and he had a little luggage. He was moving fast. You know when you get off work, you want to leave that place, you move fast? That's how he was doing. And he'd been gone, so he's gone 3 days a week. So he's flying 3 days a week. I mean, long hours. And so we went to the car, and I said, well, I said, you know that church in Sugarland? He said, well, Pastor, what church are you talking about? I said, call Epperson. They just some radical folks over there. Well, we have a dilemma. They want me to stay over. He said, well, okay, yeah. Well, we can look at it, you know, in the next couple of days, and we'll figure it out. And I said, well, I know Alina. She's going to want me to know. She want to know. I got to let her know. She's going to want to know right away. And then she's going to have Dan and Alicia be working on things, and they have Kurt and them guys doing some things. And so I said, I know. I better figure this out real quicker than Cammie and all that. And then she started texting. And then I got meetings. I said, well, Pastor, I'm going to have to put you on hold a little bit until I get out of my meetings. And so then we was going somewhere on Saturday. What is it? Thursday, and I was speaking. So I said, well, we better figure this flight stuff out because I know I'm going to get asked a question. The moment I said that, she texts me. I said, see, I told you I got to figure this out. I got to help my friend out. I got to figure it out. He said, well, let's go. And, you know, Southwest, he just pulled up his little app and boom, boom, boom. He said, when you want to leave? I said, Monday early. So I got a thing on, you know, Monday or Tuesday, Monday morning, I got to be due, or afternoon. And he said, okay, worked it out. God made it all happen. And I texted, I said, I'm coming. And here I am. Here I am. I said, now my 16-year-old son, y'all pray for him, he's taking the pulpit today. He's actually preaching the whole Sunday service. So I text him. I had to step out a couple of times. Like, hey, bus buddy, you ready? Because, see, he did, it's Black History Month, so he's part of the BSU. He's like the president. So he did this whole huge assembly. And so he's like, Dad, you coming? I said, yeah, I'll be there. And all of a sudden, he's doing the assembly, but he's preaching. I mean, all his peers, Jim was just like, this clapping and yelling and he's preaching. And then my wife and my mother-in-law, and my sister-in-law, we going to Jalen's church. I said, what am I, chopped liver? What did I said? We going to Jalen's church. And so I said, the orchestration, my other young pastor, he's out on a trip for school. And mother is just me and then Lisa and then my mother-in-law. And Lisa's like, did you ask God for me to preach? I said, no, baby. I said, but honey, you my rib, you got to preach. She said, Clyde, you know we don't do that. Step ask your mama preach. We don't do that. Well, honey, well, baby, like, don't you love me? Yes, I love you. So I said, oh, Jalen, you're up. See, we licensed him. I licensed him when he was 15 to preach. So he's licensed. So he'd been sitting. I let him sit. So I said, well, your number's up, buddy. You ready to go? I said, hey, I'm staying over Houston and I need you to preach for me on Sunday. He said, yeah. He said, what I'm gonna say? Oh, you got a lot to say. You said something at that assembly, you can say something at church. So I said, you gonna preach. I said, get a message together. And I said, I'll help you if you need help. You know, I'll work with you and help you real quick. And we'll kind of narrow it down and break it out and all that. He said, okay. So I texted him while we were in worship. I said, you got your sermon together? He said, yep. I said, all right, buddy, let the Holy Ghost use you. So he's going to be preaching. And he's going to be ministering. You know, when you look at this generation, you got to raise them now. The military in certain parts of the country and the world will take young people and raise them. Why do we think it any different in the church? Some people will say, if I was in other parts of other friends and other people, they would say, ooh, that's unbiblical. You letting him preach at that? That's really hefty. Stop being spiritual. Let him go. I started at age 14. Let him rock and roll. He gonna mess up, we can fix it. Yeah, it's okay. We'll make it happen. And so I'm super excited for him. And I was telling this sister, my princess, she's in college, and I miss her. Man, I miss her. She's so incredible. Well, I was telling her yesterday, man, my wife was FaceTiming her. They act like, when they leave the school, they act like they don't want to come home. She said, I'm not coming home for spring break. You ain't coming home. What you mean you ain't coming home, baby? No, Daddy, don't you love Daddy? I miss you. You're so cute. Oh, my gosh, you're so cute. She's like, no, I'm going to stay. I'll come home just for a little bit, maybe 1 or 2 days. Who got to come get you? I got to come get you. Thank God for Tesla, self-driving. I put that bad boy on and just roll. And just roll it. Sometimes I nod a little bit, and I got to kind of get back up. You got to be careful with that bad boy because you'll nod a minute. And so I said, I got to come get you. And she said, but it's okay, Daddy. I said, well, your brother's preaching tomorrow. She's like, oh, that's great. You didn't want to call and encourage him and give him some love and say, oh, good job, brother? No. Okay, moving right along. That's the life that I get to live. I was thinking about you guys and praying about what would the Lord say any place I go. I always ask God, if you were speaking, what would you talk about? I want you to turn to John chapter 37. John chapter 37. I think I'm in the right vein because what happened this morning, I only got 34 minutes, and I'm going to try to get this knocked out. I think I'm in the right vein. Let me tell you, y'all got guest minister. Next time I come, don't ever pick guest minister. I told y'all one time, I'm going to tell y'all, this is my last time telling you, I'm not a guest. The first time I came, I was a guest. I'm not a guest anymore. Don't ever put that guest minister there. Talking about guests. What in the devil? The devil is a lie. I ain't no guest. What you talking about? Come on, somebody. I'm so proud of you guys. So fun. It's a blast. I'm seriously, honestly, I don't say this a lot, but I tell you, this is one of my favorite places. I love Pastor Elena. She just be rocking and rolling. I said to myself, she asked, I know she's going to ask you about the hotel, so I said, I got to prep for that. I have to prep. And so she, how'd you sleep? I was like, well, it's kind of, and I'm like, I wasn't going to say that the bed was not good. So I said, well, I can't lie to her. So I got to tell her the truth. And then I said, it was kind of okay. Immediate. We can get you somewhere else. No. We don't need to do anything else. Just stay right there. I'm okay. And I just love her hospitality. So fun. John 7 and 37, I love this text. I've been spending time with it since I've known I was going to come with you, be with you. And I've just been thinking and praying and contemplating this passage and really trying to understand. You know, when Jesus is speaking, this is a great way to read Scripture. I'm telling you, it's a great way to read Scripture. I'm going to give you a nugget that I'm going to probably put in my next book that comes out, my new book coming out on April 14th on identity called Be Made Whole. It's my life's work. Took a year to write it. Turned the manuscript in December 28th. and it's coming out. It's huge. It's amazing. It's going to be a phenomenal tool. I'll talk to you later about that. But it's going to be in my next book. But when you read Scripture, when you understand Jesus never says things twice, but when you read Scripture by saying, why did you say it that way? What do you want me to know? There's different, and it's endless. When you begin to do original language study, like I'm failing in a class right now. I'm taking Hebrew right now, and I'm like, yeah, it's a mess right now. And but it's endless revelation. When you ask that way, why did you say it that way? And I've been asking God this question since I've known. And here's what I want you to look at, John 7 and 37. Jesus is speaking. This is a great passage that we know. And then the parallel of that is John chapter 4, Jesus at the well. He says, on that last day, the climax of the festival. There's a festival going on. It's high holy days. It's taking place. And Jesus stood and shouted to the crowd. Jesus is standing and he's shouting to the crowd. And he says, anyone who is thirsty, someone say thirsty, may come to me. And in verse 38, anyone, he says it again, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture says and declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Other translation says, within. Within. He's saying here, he's given us this amazing opportunity. He's in this great feast right now. He's in this great place right now. He's with a lot of people, and he's saying, he's always saying and being present in the moment. He's not really caught up in the festival. In our day, we'd be caught up in the festival. But Jesus is looking for ways to deposit something into the people. And he's saying to them, if you would only understand what's about to happen, if you would understand that if you want something greater, come drink. Come drink. So let me give you the thought that I was thinking. Drink deeply. The invitation into the fire. I kind of got two titles. I'll give you that one for fun. Renewing the thirst. That's what he's saying. He said, I want to renew your thirst. I don't know about you, but I need a thirst. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm in hot pursuit of his presence. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Freedom begins by renewing the way you know. Freedom begins by the way you are, the way you know, rewiring the way you know. What river are you drinking from on a daily basis? Think about it. Watch this. What river are you drinking? We're going to look here in just a moment. What river are you drinking from on a daily basis? What is it, the one? I want you to hold that there. I love this by Tommy Tanning. He says this, fire doesn't fall on empty altars. Fire doesn't fall on empty altars. There has to be a sacrifice on the altar to fall. I want to tell you that I believe that God is saying, I got that, I was looking and I was sitting and wrote that down. I want you to know that God is saying, I want to fall on altars. But you have to sacrifice something. It goes back to what are you drinking on a daily basis? That's why the Lord says, call them forward. That's why I had you come forward, because I want you to understand that he wants to fall on you. And I believe there was a deposit that took place. That when we were worshiping the altar, he's like, I'm falling. And do you understand that you can have that every day, but you have to know what you're drinking. You got to know what you're drinking. If this is your first time here at Epic Church, I want to tell you that I'm a shouting preacher. And you just got to love me just the way that I am. Because some people love me the way that I am. Wait a minute. Who loves me? Amen. Five people. Thank you, Jesus. Where's the rest of you at? How many of you love me? Okay, now I can preach. Here it is. Listen, we are living in the most overstimulated, overinformed, and underformed generation in history. We scroll more than we soak. We analyze more than we abide. We consume more than we commune. We have access to endless streams of content, but we are hydrated in the spirit. We are dehydrated in the spirit. Dehydrated. When the Lord began to speak to me, he said, do you understand that people are dehydrated? And they act like they don't know where to get refreshed. The ecclesia doesn't know where they forgot where to come. Here it is. When worship ends, something shifts. I'm just setting the stage up. Have you ever felt the shift in the room? The moment we move from worship to teaching mode, one moment you're in the cloud, just a moment. The next, you're analyzing bullet points. That shift is more than emotional, it's neurological. We just moved from right brain to left brain. I said that last time I was here, if you remember. The right brain is where you imagine and vision and you're there, and the left brain is the rational. You go into this rational thinking. And the rational becomes the master, and the intuitive becomes the slave. God never made it that way. The intuitive should become the master. And the rational should become the master. What are we allowing the thing that is inside of us to overtake us? Here it is. We transition from presence to performance, from receiving to reasoning, and we don't even realize it. At the very moment we must need God's presence, we retreat into our own minds, and that is just not a pattern, it's a problem. And before we go further, we have to kind of learn how to drink. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. And I want you to take one slow breath. One slow breath. Don't think about God. Just receive him. Just receive. Transformation begins with not trying harder. It learns to receive. I want you to say this with me. Jesus, I receive. All that you have for me right now. I say that every morning. Jesus, I receive. In my hotel this morning, I said, Jesus, I just receive all that you have for me. All that you have for me. I just receive. See, we're so busy of doing that we don't know how to receive. It begins with receiving deeper. When we look at John chapter 37, he is at this great festival, as I was sharing earlier. And I love that he says, if anyone, not just someone, not just a select group of people, he's inviting everyone, anyone who wants, who is thirsty, may come. This is an invitation to drink from what is true. Drinking from Jesus has the foundation. It's pure. He is refreshing. He's refreshing. He's the one that says, I will refresh you when things are going chaos. I will refresh you, but you must receive. Jesus is pointing to himself. He has the living water. He's the living foundation. He's the one. We are so good at drinking from the fountain of the enemy. We're so good at drinking from the enemy's fountain. When God is inviting us to drink from his fountain every day. Oh, man, I was praying last night after we had dinner, just putting this, finishing this up. And this last little part right here, when God is inviting us to drink from his fountain, he said, I'm inviting you to drink, Clyde, from my fountain right now. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You drink right now, drink, drink. How do you drink from a fountain when there's chaos going around you? How do you drink from something that is trying to kill you when God is trying to give you life? You have to take your eyes off what's trying to hurt you and step into something that's greater on the inside. He said, if anyone that wants to drink, they come right now. I want to tell you, he's inviting you to come and drink from him. What does that mean? What does that mean? Here's the practical. It's to surrender yourself to him and step into the invitation. Is this making sense? When you look at the Greek word, the word thirst means, meaning not just a physical thirst, but a deep, painful craving. A soul-parched desperation. It's a soul-parched desperation. We were here at the altar. It was at that soul-parched desperation that we were thirsting. Every year I go to my friends, the Marshall Islands. I do a big meeting. I preach 8 times this year. Last year it was 9 times. And prophesy every meeting. And when it's New Year's Eve, they shut it down to 3-4 in the morning. And so, but they're thirsting. They're hungry. I love that. The Greek word for drink means to continue drink. Keep receiving. Not one sip, but consistent receiving. You've got to stop sipping and you got to take the cup. Look at your neighbor and say, I got to stop sipping. Hey, yeah, you sipping. You got to start receiving. You got to take the cup. You can't just sip at this thing. He's inviting you to take the cup. He's inviting you to go deeper. You got to not. You can't just sip right now. He is saying that the original language, he is saying it is a continual. It is a deep longing. When a person is thirsty, they just keep drinking and drinking and drinking. How many know what I'm talking about? How many have been really physically thirsty and you just, and all of a sudden it's gone? But what if it never stops? It doesn't go empty. What he's saying to you and I, be consistent in receiving. The Hebrew idea behind water and thirst, I give you the liberty here, is to think. It means to symbolize of life. He's saying life, water represents life. You know that. You got to have water to stay to live. It also means cleansing. That's a whole nother thought and subject in itself. God's provision and his spirit. Thirst represents a soul in desperate need of God's refreshing. Let me pause right there. Let me let that sit right there. It is saying that thirst represents a soul that's in desperate need of God's refreshing. Whatever you're walking through, he is saying, are you thirsty for me to step in? Are you thirsty for me to come in? Are you thirsty for me to intervene? Are you thirsty for me to move you out of the way and come be the God that I say that I am? Are you thirsty for me to stir you up? Are you thirsty for me to impart something greater? Right. Are you thirsty enough for me to break the religious mindset that you have built in your stinking thinking and fill it up? Right. Because this is not something that we shake here. This is something that imparts. Right. The Hebraic mindset says it this way. Every day is a refresh. It's a fresh invitation to drink. In the Hebraic mind, it means every day he's inviting you to drink. Drinking is about trust, receiving without working for it. You ain't got to work for a thirst. He just sends out, he wants you to receive. I want you to receive. And then when you look at, because there's water, pure water, there's got to be dirty water. Dirty water is simply guilt, shame, fear, self-protection. It poisons the soul. Living water is the life of God himself flowing into us, especially in chaos. The living water flows through you and I in chaos. Here it is. When we look at the enemy's fountain, we're not talking about something mystical or floating in the air. What I'm talking about is performance. That's the enemy's fountain. Comparison. Self-protection, numbness, control. That voice is the one that handles your life. This one, it says, we always say, I handle it. I'll do it. For guys, we're really good when we have to figure something. We just, I'll just figure it out. That's what guys say. We say it all the time. I'll just figure it out. And you don't know what you're figuring out. And God says, so you want to figure it out, but you don't even ask me to help you figure it out. That's not receiving. That's become your own reference point. When you become your own reference point versus God being your reference point, things change. Watch this. That's dirty water. Any one of us spiritually dehydrated because we are drinking from the wrong well while standing next to the river. Let me say that again. Any of us who are spiritually dehydrated because we're drinking from the wrong well while standing next to the river. What he's saying is the river's right here, but you're drinking from the wrong river, the fountain. When he's saying drink from that one, and actually I will purify your thoughts so that you can receive what I have for you. See, you can get great prophetic words, but the prophetic words won't do anything until you receive it. You can get constipated with prophetic words, but you don't even take care of the first words you got. Did I come talk to a church? You can get prophetic words, but the word, if you're trying to overanalyze and overthink that, how's that going to work and when is that going to happen, all that, versus receiving, then you miss the whole thing. We don't even question what the enemy say. But, man, we will jack up and have a theological stinking debate about it. But you don't even say, enemy says, yeah, you're a failure. Yep, I know I'm a failure. Yep, I agree with that one. Yep, I'm stupid. Yep, I'm dumb. Yep, I'm empty. Yep. I'm this, that. I'm drinking from that well. I'm drinking from the enemy's well. Yep. But God's like, no, don't say that because you're more than enough. I didn't create you in your mama's belly has not enough. I created you as more than enough. Yeah, that's what he said. But you can't believe that. Why would God want to do something like that for me because I'm such a failure? Wow. You're buying into that? That's not drinking from the one he's inviting you to drink from. He's like, why? Here it is. Let me tell you. When you look at point number one is this. The invitation is always open. Let me say it again. Point number one is the invitation is always open. Even in the fire. Even in the fire, chaos doesn't cancel the invitation. It clarifies where the thirst really is. Here it is. When life feels like a wildfire raging around you, Jesus doesn't close the well. He shouts louder, come drink, come and drink. When there's things around you, he says, hey, come and drink, come and drink, come. I will tell you what you need to do. See, you got to learn how to exercise your God-given authority and go drink. You got to go drink. I don't know who I'm talking to. I'm preaching my own message right now. You don't need a perfect condition to drink. Think about it. Watch this. Watch this. When you go home and you get something, you stand at that faucet in your kitchen and you're drinking, there's no perfect condition. But we have to have, we make it in our mind, we have to have a perfect condition. It's got to feel right. It's got to, I got to sense it. I got to have the Holy Ghost jerk. I got to have it. No, there's no perfect condition. Matter of fact, he loves moving in imperfect situations so that he can make it perfect. You need desperation, a desperate heart to respond. In the fire, Jesus isn't offering a way out first. He's offering a way in. Into him, he's offering a way into him. I want to go into him. Say with me, I want to go into him. I'm so sick and tired of going into my own way. I want to go into him. I can prophesy to you, but it's what you do and what you believe about it. Watch this. Let me mess with this. Not in my message. But you can get a prophetic word. If you don't believe good enough about yourself, you won't receive it. And when you don't receive God's word for your life, you reject him. Let me say it again. Let me say it on this side. When you don't get it, when you get a prophetic word and you don't view yourself as good enough and you get a word, and you don't see yourself good enough, then you reject him because you will put the word down. But you're looking for the next word. Why did you reject the first one when you're looking for that another one? What's the problem here? Where are we messed up at? Because the reality is, here's a thought here. I want you, you don't wait for the fire to die down. You drink right now in the middle of the flames. Drink in the middle of the flames. Drink in the middle of the flames. Daniel, remember Daniel chapter 3. Three men thrown into the fire. And the king said, didn't we throw three of them bad boys in there? Why do I see a fourth person? The fire didn't move, didn't remove them. The fire revealed him. Let me say it again. I feel like preaching. Can I preach this a moment? Because the fire didn't remove them, it revealed him. And I'm gonna tell you this morning that the fire is about to reveal himself to you. The fire is about to step into your circumstance. The fire is about to come through. You see, there's a fourth man in the fire. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a fourth man in the fire. Can I come to an epic church to tell you that there's a fourth man in the fire? And there's a fourth man in the fire. And when the fire gets ready to happen, the Holy Ghost will step in. Can I get a witness here? There's a fire on the inside of you. There's a fourth man in the fire. The fourth man, the fourth man. Look at your neighbors. I got the fourth man. I got the fourth man. I got the fourth man. He's inside of me. He's got 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 me. My family ain't got me, but he got me. The church ain't got me, but he got me. Oh, can I get a witness here? My finances ain't got me, but he got me. He's the fourth man. He's the fourth man. And then when you look at it, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 43:2. When you walk through the fire, remember that scripture? You will not be burned. He doesn't promise fear a fireless life. He promises fireproof identity. The invitation doesn't disappear in the flames. It gets louder. John chapter 14, verse 6. God is always no matter, not with you, he's always with you. He's not just the God that's sometime with you. He's always with you. He's continually with you. If you understand that you're never alone, he's always with you in it. John chapter 4. Ooh, I want to mess with this. I'm going to flirt with her real quick. The Samaritan woman who came to the well at noon, the hottest part of the day. The question is, Kurt, why did she come at noontime? Because shame was scheduled. Because shame scheduled you when no one else is there. Uh-huh. Rejection scheduled you when no one else was there. abandonment scheduled you when no one else was there. She had been drinking from relationships. Ah, help me somebody. Five husbands and still thirsty. Jesus didn't expose her. Let me park right here and double click. Stop trying to expose people because Jesus wouldn't do that to you. Stop trying to expose something. Watch this. My son had a situation since I was here. He's a manager on the basketball team. The coach told him to go ask the other team for the balls back. He knocks on the door, and the coach answers and says, what can I do for you? He said, we just need our balls back. He said, are you from Nelson? He said, yes. He says, you tell your coach that we don't have as cuss word. And then he's like, he thought he was joking, but he's like, he said it again. He said, you say it just the way that I told you to say it. He goes back and tells the coach, and the coach comes over and he says to him, this is a kid. You don't talk to a young man that way. Because you lost, you don't take out your frustration on a kid. This is a student, and they almost got no thing, but then I got a phone call. Mm-hmm. I said, well, he sure baby like I'm in Houston. Because, baby, let me tell you something. I don't play about, I don't discriminate about kids or adults. And I said, you want me to call the AD? He said, no, Dad, I got it. He said, because my coach took care of me. My coach protected me. I said, now, you sure you don't want me to call? I said, pull this other coach up. I think I know who he is. And I would, you know, sometimes you rehearse what you're going to say. Don't leave me hanging. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't be looking at me strange in front of y'all. Know y'all how many be rehearsing what they're going to say. In the car, if they say this, I'm going to say that. No, they didn't. How the world are they going to talk to me crazy? And I got this and that. Come on, talk to me. If I had somebody that know what I'm talking about, just stand to your face and say, Pastor, you better preach. Huh? Yeah, I mean, you know, you be talking, you be self-talking. You may not mean having a meeting with the passenger. If they say this, yeah, I'm going to say this to them. So I said, son, I said, you sure you want me to do it? He said, no. Then they called me the other day, and they said, the AD called me. And she said, I just want to make sure you are okay. We protected your son. We blah, blah, blah. I said, no, I trust you guys. You guys do take care of. Me and my wife trust you guys. And I said, please have the coach call me. I want to thank him. The coach called me. And I told the coach this. This is what I want to get to. He told my son, when you get back on the school bus, I don't want you talking about this to other kids. That's great leadership. That's great leadership. We got to stop gossiping about other people. Jesus never exposed people. Watch this. He exposed them to transform them. Did you catch it? We will expose people to hurt them. When you do that, that's not being a representation of the kingdom of God. We don't do that. Look at he's with the woman with the issue of blood. Gosh, I got 3 minutes. Listen, he says Jesus didn't expose her. He offered her water. He offered her water. And this is what blew my mind. I was looking at this just a minute ago when we were at worship, and I had to go over there and I took some notes in my Bible. You know, you mark in your Bible a lot, and I do. I'm marking my Bible. I don't know about you, but I'm marking my Bible. Look what he says in John chapter 4, verses 10. Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift, if you only knew. Watch this. He's saying every day, if you only knew that you have the great privilege to drink at the water. Ah, let me flirt this way. If you only knew the prophetic word that you're about to receive has a gift. If you only knew, look at your neighbor and say, if you only knew. Then he goes on to say, he says, if you only knew the gift that God has for you. Wow. When the Lord began to speak to me this morning in this very part right here, he says, the gift is Jesus. He's saying to her, if you only knew that I'm the gift for you. I don't care what you've got going on. What I do care about is transforming, the cross-pollinating. God is inviting us to drink, to cross-pollinate. He's inviting us to drink, to be there, to be the loudest voice in your family. Your shame brought you to the well, but his voice turned your thirst into a testimony. Turned into a testimony. Turned into a testimony. If you stop drinking, the water is still going to flow. The river is still going to flow. The river doesn't stop flowing because you stop drinking. It's still going to accomplish its purpose. You stop drinking, the water's still going to go. Let me say it this way. A blind man, the sun don't stop on a blind man. So why do you give up drinking? Don't give up drinking. Point number two is that I'm going to fly through this and I'm going to land the plane. I'm over my time. But let me throw this at you because I want to throw this part is stop sipping dirty water. The circumstance is not your source. The circumstance, church, I want you to understand, yes, you walk through the most tumultuous situation in life, but it's not who you are. I call forth more help to come to this body. I call forth more help, come. Angels on assignment, sin, go right now, loose and bring help. Help. Every prophetic word in this house spoken, come to pass. Come to pass. Whenever you sip from will shape you. Whatever you sip from will shape you. Dirty water will drown you in fear. Living water will deliver you in faith. Guilt, shame, trauma, fear looks like water. But it's like poison inside of it, dirty. The living water says you are not what happened to you. You are what happened in you. When you drink from fear, you multiply fear. When you drink from Jesus, you multiply freedom. Fire isn't from the foundation. Jesus is the foundation. You may have to come back later for number three. I'm over my time. Let me tell you, I tell young, our leaders, our sons and daughters, when you're invited to speak someplace and when they give you a time frame, you put a timer on, you stick to that time. You have limited power of attorney. Don't disrespect the house just because you think you got a word. Now, let me conclude with this. Everything that you want in God is found in John 7 and 37. He's inviting you to drink. Lord, show me how to drink tomorrow when I'm at work. What do you want me to know as I'm at work? I have a buddy, he's a doctor, he's a surgeon. I preach at their church quite a bit. And when he goes into surgery, they have given his surgery starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. Sometimes they will give him 7 cases, sometimes 8 cases. And what took 4 hours will be done in 1 hour. Because the Holy Spirit will show him right where to go because he's asking to drink. And they said, how are you doing this all around? He said, because if you only knew who gave it to me. He said, he's telling you can do the same thing, but you have to know, you have to be in the kingdom of God to do that. Yeah. They tell me they gave him more cases and he still just goes through it. living water. It's amazing how we come to church or go home, we just sit like this. Guys, this guy done yet? Like, shoot. I'm going to go to this Mexican restaurant. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to eat this. And I'm gonna eat that. I know y'all thinking about what's next food y'all going to eat. Tell me, show me. Let me look at me shaming funny. Y'all know y'all going to eat after church. You know how we do. We in the South. We like to eat. Oh, Shanda, my God, see. I was feeling this morning. Can I have 5 minutes, Pastor? Can I have 5 minutes? I'm going to pray. I want you to stand to your feet. Can I get a little music? When she asked me to come, I knew I was supposed to come. I always ask the Lord, are you inviting me into this? Here's what the Lord said to me. I said, Lord, are you inviting me to go there? And he said, yeah, why not go? That's what the Lord said to me. Why not? You're there already. Why not go? Now, I'm going to come for her. Anytime she said, ask me to come, I'm coming. I said, say, you don't put that guest minister on there. I don't like that. I ain't no guest. We family. It was with Pastor Cindy and Pastor Callie and Todd. They were out of town on the boat, but I was in their house. That's why I was there at Celebration of Life. Family. I'm going to prophesy this corporate word over you. I just felt it in my spirit.